well, how do we react to change? Do we, if we see it around us in a garden, do we see it as positive or negative? If we see it around us as a city or a society, do we see it as positive or negative? Like, what does it mean when the streets of a city look different, or the people in the streets of a city look different? I guess for me, those, I mean, I tend to think about borders as always not embracing change, but trying to resist change and trying to resist the kind of normal motions of movements of people. Like, I feel like if you look at the world's history in a very long durée way, people have always moved. It's like wandering is what we do as humans. That's just inevitable. It's like the weeds that come blown in, the poppies that come blown from here. People move wherever they're blown by the winds.
Really, an article about how plants have now hold us hostage. So crops now hold us hostage. So before, as you were saying, migratory, and people started farming rice and wheat, that we are now slave to them.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, so we have to change the landscape, then put up barriers to protect them, and then, oh, can we have some of yours? Well, no, you can't.
Do you see a garden? Is a garden finite or plentiful? Like, what's your sense of this space?
I mean, if we have a look at a border, so we know how large it is. We know the rough soil quality, so it's clay. No, this isn't clay. The rest of the garden's clay. This is an imported soil, so we're not quite
sure. Right.
Migratory soil, yes.
That is it? Ah, so, where's it come from?
We don't know. But there is a very specific mix for the soil, the amount of stone it should have in it. So we know how large it is, we know what the soil type is, so we know roughly we can work out how many plants that could support.
Yeah.
Then it's, do we want one big plant, a tree, or do we want half a dozen smaller plants? And then you have to work out, and then there's going to have to be choices maybe later, if plants are out competing each other, that you'll have to divide a plant up and break it up. Yeah. As a gardener, we have to make those decisions. And, you know, am I doing the right thing of saying, actually, should you keep, do you want that one really good specimen, or actually five plants which are going to struggle, and probably the strongest one's going to win anyway, so you've wasted time, money and energy. So yeah,
I mean, and I guess, you know, a lot of my work has been on the Holocaust and so anti-Semitism, you know, especially in Germany. And I think, you know, what's interesting is that those metaphors were so much picked up by racial anti-Semitism in Germany in the 1930s.
Yeah, yeah.
So like the world was, you know, Lebensraum, an idea of like, you know, needing to create new living space for the German people, that this, it was overcrowded, that there were these kind of alien species within the German landscape, which were the Jews, and they needed to be uprooted. So all of, I mean, I'm interested in the fact that often racism in the 20th century has used planting metaphors, that those kinds of terms have been so much used. And I guess the question is about how appropriate, there's this slippage, isn't there? Because they feel like really inappropriate terms to use. A border here, this garden is very different from Germany in the 1930s, but that sense, that language,
yeah,
it feels like it really permeates a lot of our discussions about race and ethnicity.